might I just add that the preparation, I believe John and Jeremy just mentioned it, come in on the Lord's Day, it's not a switch that we turn on when we come there. But it is something that we do throughout the week. So often we think that it is when we come. That's when we are to be prepared. But what comes to mind is how they pick up the manna. They went every day, and then the day before they pick up twice as much. And so we get the whole idea that there is a preparation that is done every day of the week until I get to that day. Not that I pick it up, not that I prepare on that first day. On that day when we are to now eat the supper. But it is what I do. And actually, the remembrance meeting kind of set the tone for the rest of the week, or the week that is to come. So again, it is not like a light switch, as was said, where I turn it on the morning, I do everything that is whatever during the week, and on Saturday night, I now, you know, start to get kind of occupied with the Lord, and then on Lord's Day, we now come and we said we are prepared. I don't think that's how it happened. But I remember when the manna was picked up, they pick it up once a day. Until the last day, it is like a culmination of everything on the day before. I get a restful night so that I can be prepared to remember the Lord.
Just to give, to kind of try to paint a picture before we go into the applications of things, so we could see it is a matter of affection and a matter of a heart desire, because that will motivate me more than thou shalt and thou shalt not. If you turn with me, because we mentioned the fact that the remembrance of someone who have passed from the scene, it was a custom in the Old Testament. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 16. And verse 7, Jeremiah 16 and verse 7, I would read from Mr. Darby's translation. It is clearer in there. Jeremiah 16, verse 7, nor shall they break bread for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead, neither shall they, giving them the cup of consolation, to drink for their father or for their mother. It was a custom that when someone passed from the scene, that there will be a gathering to remember that person by breaking of the bread and drinking of the cup. But there the atmosphere was an atmosphere of mourning and sadness. That's not the case on Lord's Day morning. The hymn writer have said it, it is with joy and sorrow mingling we do remember thee. Because we are not gathered to remember one who died only, but we are coming together to remember someone who died and also risen from among the dead and ascended at the right hand of God and coming again. But I'm not running to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 yet. So that is the first thing that we need to understand, that the Lord Jesus brought his own among himself to tell them about this. I am not going to be here physically in the scene anymore. I would like you to remember me in that manner. That's number one. The point about with desire, I have desire. It wasn't really a command. Again, the Old Testament is wonderful because you bring a picture of that in 2 Samuel chapter 23, around verse 15 or 16, you have a list of there in that chapter of David's mighty men. He is the commander in chief. But in verse 15, he expresses his thought this way. Oh, that someone would give me a water, a cup of water from the well that is at Bethlehem. He didn't command. If he commanded, they would follow. It was a desire of his heart. He didn't say, you and you and you go. And the interesting thing, three of them went. You know, two or three, it's a wonderful number to remember. Three of them went. And just to fulfill the desire, Because they love David, really more than anything else. They love David and they just wanted to please him. Just to bring the idea that this is a matter of heart affection. He's no longer here. He have done a lot. And now we are together around him to call him to mind, to remember him. The final point is that the Lord's Supper is mentioned only in the Synoptic Gospel. It is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. It is mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. And it is mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. It is not mentioned in the Gospel of John. John was written, probably the last thing of the scripture. Maybe the book of Revelation was written after. It's not the point. The point is, by then, the practice was already taking place. John's gospel doesn't mention the breaking of the bread. John 6, as Brother David have referred to it to remind us of our constant feeding on him, is not a remembrance meeting. That's why many take John 6 and said, well, you eat his flesh and you drink his blood. That's not really there at all about the remembrance. In John 6, it's a matter of believing and feeding. It's not a matter of remembering. The thought of remembering, it's only mentioned in, as I mentioned already, in John, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So this is just a setting. The point one wanted to make is this. It's a matter of a heart affection. It will help us not to turn the switch on. It will help us not to be kind of careless throughout the whole week. If it's a matter of affection that on the first day of the week, it's a privilege that was given to the company of Christian on earth. It's the greatest privilege ever given to men to surround the Son of God and to be in his presence, to call him to mind, to remember him.
Just one more comment to add on John 6, to clarify that. I think it's very helpful to point that out. Emil has mentioned about the part about eating, and if there's ever a conversation that you have about the meaning of John 6, the Lord Jesus is comparing himself to the manna. The manna was mentioned earlier as well. The manna is the comparison there. The manna was so that they could have daily food through the wilderness. And for the Christian, the daily food through the wilderness of this world is the Lord Jesus. And so as we've just mentioned, this is not for the remembrance. Some look at John 6 as we've had, but it's good to just clarify that in the couple of ways that we have considered. Maybe we could consider a little bit, not to pass too quickly over verses 15 and 16 if there are more thoughts, but to consider what this first cup meant, because it's not the cup after supper of verse 20, obviously, but perhaps we could consider a little bit about what is the purpose of the Lord's words here in Luke. I think it's only in Luke that we actually see that there's this other cup, and from history we know that there were several cups, various parts of this remembrance, but here this is what's mentioned. Perhaps there could be some comments on this as we move into the main passage of the remembrance itself.